Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on the 16th day of October 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program Dr. Andrew Smith, who is pastor of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida. And he's also the host of a podcast called Today in Church History. And history is spelled H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. And we are going to be discussing today the martyrdom of Latimer and Ridley and why we must never forget their sacrifice. And that martyrdom took place on this date in history, October 16th. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Andrew Smith.
Chris, thanks for having me on again, brother. I really appreciate it.
And first of all, we are intending to have you back on monthly, sometimes more than once a month, to address a date in church history that should be remembered. Tell us about this podcast.
Well, the podcast was birthed at the end of last year, just in my mind and my heart, as I was working on my doctorate of ministry degree at Master Seminary and trying to think through maybe some of the ways that I could put to use the many years of education that I've been blessed to receive. And preaching and history are two of my favorite topics in all the world. And so I was looking for a way to kind of tie those two things together. And I thought more of a podcast rather than writing articles, although I do write some articles on my website. I thought that a podcast in our day and age would be a better means to reach more people. And so I started it and at the beginning of this year and really shot for a 5 to 10 minute, just a small little kind of lunch hour listen where I take an event of church history that occurs on that particular day in which I do the broadcast and just try to explain it in summary form and then apply it with various scripture passages for Christians today.
And I know that the podcast is archived at heartofflame.org. That's H-E-A-R-T, the letter A, F-L-A-M-E.org. Is that where folks can hear it live also, or where? How do they hear this program?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not a live program as yours is. But they can visit that website and get all the archived copies of the podcasts. We're up to episode 33 at this point. If folks are familiar with Apple iTunes, which most of the listeners probably are, you can search for Today in Church History. Again, history spelled H-I-S hyphen S-T-O-R-Y at Apple iTunes, and you can listen that way as well.
Okay, now let our listeners know, for the sake of our listeners who did not hear you during your previous interviews on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, tell our listeners about Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida.
Well, Christ Reformed is a church that I'm very, very blessed to pastor, also the establishing pastor of the church. We started back in September of 2015. Me and my wife and another couple, And since then, the church has grown both spiritually and numerically to the point where we're able to minister to the community and minister to those who have joined and become part of the work. And we are basically an independent, non-denominational, Reformed church. So we would be confessional. We practice believer's baptism. But we wouldn't call ourselves necessarily Reformed Baptist. We have quite a few Presbyterians that are part of our congregation, and so our church is unique in the sense that it's a place where Presbyterians and Baptists tend to get along pretty well.
And Christ Reformed Community Church, for those of our listeners that want to look up that website, it's ChristReformedCC.com. ChristReformedCC.com. And I've just been informed that there is a loud hissing noise from a listener in Ireland who said that she's listening to the program and there's a loud hissing noise. I'm sorry, there's nothing else I could do right now. I don't understand why that is occurring. But if you could please be patient and just deal with that as much as you can. The date that we are addressing today, October 16th, first of all, what year were Latimer and Ridley martyred?
So the year was 1555, so the middle of the 16th century.
1555. And so tell us about these two brave souls that would rather be executed than deny their precious faith.
Well, there were a lot of things that both of them had in common, beginning with the fact that they would fit in that category that historians typically call the Marian martyrs. And there were three of them that were executed around the same time. Of course, Ridley and Latimer were executed together back-to-back, burnt at the same stake. And then a couple of weeks later, Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was also executed in the same exact spot. And as a matter of fact, he witnessed from the rooftop of a nearby building the execution of Ridley and Latimer. And that was sort of the motivation of the Roman Church to try to get him to recant his Protestantism, which he actually did recant his Protestantism, but then he recanted his recantation later on, as we famously know, and was executed and died being a Protestant.
And requested that his hand that signed his original recantation of the Protestant faith, that hand be burned first.
Yeah. All the accounts say that he actually put his hand in the fire, his right hand in the fire, and said this was the hand that committed the offense of denying the precious faith, and so it will be the part of my body that burns first. And by all accounts, that indeed did take place. But the Marian martyrs there were more than just Ridley, Latimer, and Cranmer. There was about 300 that were burnt at the stake. And there was another, I don't know how many that died in prison as a result of being imprisoned by Queen Bloody Mary, who was the daughter of King Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. She was intensely Roman Catholic and really, after all the reforms that had taken place in England over a period of about 20 years, when she became the queen, she tried to reverse all of those things. And it was somewhat of a counter-reformation that led to all of these martyrs of the faith that we look up to today.
And the names, the full names of these two individuals to whom we are paying tribute today are Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley. Why don't you tell us about these men before we even get to the point of why they were executed?
Sure. Well, I'll start with Latimer. He was the older of the two. We don't know exactly what year he was born, but it was the latter half of the 15th century. So somewhere between 1480 and 1491, most historians say he was born. Like Nicholas Ridley, they were both educated at Cambridge. Hugh Latimer was educated at Christ College, and he received three degrees. So they were both very learned men, And for Latimer's part, he was intensely against Protestantism. In fact, his oral defense for one of his degrees, one of his 3 degrees that he received, was basically a polemic against Martin Luther, and specifically against Philip Melanchthon's teachings on justification by faith alone. But just in God's providence, it was through that oral defense that a man named Thomas Bilney, who was listening to this defense, was sympathetic to Protestantism and took Latimer by his side and convinced him that these Reformed principles were actually closer to the Bible than what the current Roman Church was teaching. And so Latimer changed from a fierce opponent of the Reformed faith or of Protestantism to become an ardent supporter of it. And the thing that helped Latimer out more than anything is that he was a very good preacher. He was a popular preacher, and I don't say that in the sense that he tickled people's ears, but he had a certain wit about his sermonic delivery. He spoke in plain language that the people could understand, and so he was able to gain a hearing just based upon his ability to communicate effectively in his day. But he was licensed with 12 other preachers by Cambridge College to basically go in a circuit around England and to preach. And eventually he gained the hearing of King Henry VIII. He became an advisor to King Henry VIII under the influence of Thomas Cranmer, who encouraged that relationship. And Latimer also became chaplain to Anne Boleyn, who was the second wife of King Henry VIII, who was a Protestant. And as I said, he was known primarily for his preaching, and even had the ability to have humor in his sermons. Historians say that he preached up to 2 hours long. So he preached long sermons, but during that day it wasn't extremely uncommon for Reformed people to do that. And then Nicholas Ridley was about 20 years younger than Hugh Latimer, and Ridley was born near Newcastle, England, in Northumberland. He was also educated at Cambridge much later than Latimer. And Ridley is considered to be the scholar of the two, although by no means do historians think that Latimer wasn't also a scholar. It's just that Ridley not only was educated at Cambridge, but he also went off to Paris and studied there. And he held many educational posts at Cambridge College. He was the proctor, I think it was, of Pembroke College. But Ridley was also a good preacher. He was appointed as the king's chaplain. So Latimer was the chaplain for Anne Boleyn and was an advisor to King Henry VIII. But Nicholas Ridley was the king's personal chaplain. He was also the Bishop of London, which was a very, obviously, prestigious position. Latimer also held a bishopric as well. And so both of these men, they were actually imprisoned in the same room along with Cranmer in the Tower of London when they were arrested by the time that Queen Mary came to the throne. And so they knew each other before that, but they really developed a bond there as they were in the Tower of London. And we can only imagine what sort of prayers they prayed and what sort of scriptures they quoted to each other. As they inevitably knew they were all going to be executed for their faith in the one and only true gospel of Jesus Christ.
So tell us a bit about the religious turmoil that had been taking place in England, in the Church of England, prior to this. The Church of England seemed to be, for quite a while, swinging back and forth like a pendulum from Roman Catholicism to Protestantism, and even different forms of Protestantism, where you had even the Puritans who eventually chose to depart from the Church of England because they themselves were being oppressed for their the purity of the stances they took regarding biblically faithful belief and practice. But tell us about a little bit in more detail about the pendulum of Romanism to Protestantism and back to Romanism that seemed to be plaguing the Church of England, which actually led to the deaths of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the question. It's not an easy question to answer, only because of the complications of not only history and theology, but just even genealogy. I mean, you're talking about King Henry VIII, who had multiple wives. Some of them were Protestant, some of them were Catholic. And King Henry VIII, it's been said by one historian that he would go through theological moods like he went through his wives. In other words, he wasn't a man necessarily driven by the conviction of Scripture or driven by Protestant principles. He was a religious man. He took Mass three times a day. And so it wasn't that he wasn't religious. He was part of that religious climate of the day. But he was all about power.
Right.
And so he was actually an ardent defender of the Roman Catholic faith. And him and Martin Luther butted heads.
In fact, didn't he have that official title of defender of the faith while Roman Catholic?
He did. Yeah, he received that title in 1521. Of course, the Pope can only give that title to someone, and the Pope gave it to Henry VIII. And the reason the Pope gave it to him is because Henry wrote a defense of the seven sacraments, in which, you know, Luther was arguing there are only two sacraments, Lord's Supper and baptism, and Henry VIII, with the help of some other scholars, wrote a polemic against Martin Luther that said, no, there are seven sacraments. There's confirmation, there's penance, there's ordination, there's the last rites, there's marriage. And the Pope was so proud of Henry VIII that he entitled him Defender of the Faith. But Henry's problems were more about the fact that he couldn't have an heir to the throne. That was really his issue. So his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, couldn't give him a son. He did have a daughter by her by the name of Queen Mary, who later became Queen Bloody Mary. And as I'm sure we'll talk about later, this divorce or annulment from Catherine of Aragon really, I think, settled in the heart of Queen Mary a resistance toward Protestantism because King Henry VIII, her father, had divorced her mother. But he sought to get annulment of this marriage by appealing to texts like Leviticus 20:21, which said you're not supposed to take your brother's wife. And Catherine of Aragon was, in fact, his dead brother's former wife. And so he tried to appeal to the Pope to annul the marriage based upon that so that he could marry someone else so he could have a male heir. So again, Henry was motivated more by political things in terms of how his legacy was going to be carried on through the throne rather than theological convictions and priorities. And so he did end up marrying Anne Boleyn. His marriage was not annulled by the Pope, but he went ahead and divorced her anyway. And with the Act of Supremacy in about the year 1534, he was declared the supreme head of the Church of England. And Chris, I don't know if you've heard kind of the legend that was used by some of the scholars surrounding Henry VIII as to the legitimacy of naming King Henry VIII the supreme head of the Church of England. Are you aware of the legend that surrounds that?
Just by that description, no.
So there was a legend current in that day, and who knows, maybe even King Henry VIII scholars made this story up. But the legend said that the first church planted was actually not planted in Rome by the Apostle Peter, but that it was planted in England by Joseph of Arimathea. And so the argument was that every other country in the world needs to submit to the Pope, but England doesn't need to submit to the Pope. England is different because England had the first church, and therefore the church in England, in some odd, convoluted way, actually owed her allegiance to the king first above the Pope, which is an interesting part of history. And those were the type of arguments that were ultimately used by King Henry. So he was not trying to start a Protestant Reformation by the things and decisions he made. It was more motivated by his marriages and trying to get an heir to the throne.
In fact, I have heard from people who seem to be very knowledgeable. In fact, one of the individuals who told me this during an interview is a Thomas Cranmer scholar. He's considered to be one of the foremost experts on the life and legacy of Thomas Cranmer, if not the most knowledgeable living expert. Ashley Null, Dr. Ashley Null, who is an Anglican teaching in Berlin, Germany. But he has written on Cranmer, and he said that Archbishop Cranmer, although he was friends with King Henry VIII, and although King Henry VIII is the one that had appointed him, he never believed in the genuineness of King Henry's conversion. He viewed him as remaining a Roman Catholic, and on Henry's deathbed, according to Dr. Null, Thomas Cranmer was holding Henry's hand and said, "If you believe in justification by faith alone, please squeeze my hand." And apparently Henry did. And whether that was a sign of true conversion or not, I don't know. But that is the story that I've heard. I don't know if you have heard that as well.
No, I haven't heard that story, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility, just because, like you said earlier, the pendulum swing back and forth with Henry. I mean, even after instituting these reforms that that were in support of Protestantism, after he broke away from the Pope in 1534 with the Act of Supremacy, a few years later, after he won, you know, all the support of these reformers, the Six Articles came out, which were basically a capitulation back to Romanism, and people like Hugh Latimer actually resigned their posts as bishop, and kind of fell out with King Henry VIII because he was fearful that this Reformation was going too far, and so he was a man, and I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not going to try to be one, but he was certainly a man who had a lot of internal issues going on, with his temperament and with wanting power and all of those sorts of things. So I wouldn't put it past him at all just to swing back and forth, and who knows what happened, you know, at his deathbed.
Now, lead us up to the point where Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley knew that they were in trouble with the authorities in the Church of England, and what were the specific reasons, doctrinally specifically, or matters of practice, that were really getting the authorities hot under the collar, if you will, and determined to either get them to repent of these things or to execute them?
Well, initially, as I said, Latimer especially gained the support of Henry VIII because he preached against the clergy and the abuses of the clergy. There was a sermon series that he preached at St. Paul's Cross entitled On the Plow in about the year 1547, and this was later on, but he had a refrain in it where he said the devil is never out of his diocese. And that was kind of Latimer's. He was a lot like Luther in attacking the corruption of the clergy, and King Henry VIII liked this. So in that sense, King Henry VIII supported Latimer. Latimer would say things like, the priests are always lording and loitering, and because they're lording and loitering have come up, it makes preaching go down. They pamper their paunches, they munch in their mangers, they moil in their mansions, which is all very colorful language to suggest that the clergy just fed themselves food and were gluttonous and weren't worth anything. That really appealed to King Henry VIII. But what put pressure on people like Latimer and Ridley was ultimately their view of justification by faith alone. Ultimately, their views on against images, things like that, their stance against transubstantiation, which King Henry VIII really, he gave them a long leash on these things, but these were issues that when Queen Mary, you know, ascended the throne, she had no toleration for, because she was staunchly Catholic. So with King Henry VIII, when he was reigning, there was a longer leash with Latimer and Ridley. Latimer was imprisoned briefly under King Henry VIII's rule, but after King Henry VIII died, Edward VI came to the throne, who was the son of King Henry VIII's third wife, Jane Seymour, and she was an ardent Protestant. And so that's when you start to see things really pick up in terms of the Reformation picking up in England. But it wasn't until Queen Mary came to the throne. She didn't like the teaching against transubstantiation. She didn't like the teaching against purgatory. She didn't like the teaching against images. For example, Nicholas Ridley, when he was the Bishop of London, he removed the altars in the churches of London, and he replaced them with communion tables. And of course, the reason he did that is because he did not believe that Christ was re-sacrificed at the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. and that this was a table feast for all of God's family to partake in. So those are just some of the examples, the normal doctrines that Martin Luther himself upheld were the same evangelical doctrines that Ridley and Latimer upheld, and were ultimately killed for holding up to these truths.
So when Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were given the option to either recant their beliefs or be executed, it was really not one or two, it was basically a litany of beliefs that would fall under the umbrella of reformational teaching, and of course you and I would call it biblical teaching.
Yeah, I'd say that is true, except for the fact that if you read the records of the final hearing of Latimer and Ridley, because they were actually tried at the same time, so they were not only executed at the same time, but they were tried at the same time, and the main charge brought up against them is that they did not hold the transubstantiation. That was the primary thing, and when Latimer was asked to recant, or when he was asked at that same trial, which I think was in the year 1554, because they were arrested in 1553 and then executed in 1555, Latimer said, I don't owe you a response. If you want to know what I believe, then just read the New Testament. I mean, that's basically what he said. And he just refused to, he was not like Cranmer when it came to the end of his life. He was very strong and resolute. And
you mean Cranmer in his first threat?
In his first incantation.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to our first station break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor or church, or perhaps you're a pastor and you disagree with your own denomination or congregation. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Andrew Smith.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, assistant professor of systematic theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron, a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices.
Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. And keep your eye open for the next full-page, full-color ad for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the December issue of World Magazine. I believe it comes out December 14th, if I'm not mistaken. We are now back with our discussion with Dr. Andrew Smith, pastor of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida. We are discussing Today in Church History, the martyrdom of Latimer and Ridley, and why we must never forget their sacrifice. If you have a question for our guest, Dr. Andrew Smith, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Can you tell us, Andrew, about any of the conversations that took place between Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley during their imprisonment and right up to their execution? And also, perhaps, if you could tell us something about the reaction of the crowds observing this.
Well, I'll start with the latter question, because I think it's the more important question. Something interesting occurred when these three Oxford martyrs, as they're called, Ridley, Latimer, and Cranmer, were burnt at the stake. They were burnt at the stake in 1555, but the crowds were so aghast at what occurred and witnessing this, and especially witnessing Cranmer recant his Protestantism and then turn around right before he's executed and recant his newfound Catholicism again. All of this really created some momentum for the Protestants. I believe that Queen Mary would have been well on her way of instituting Roman Catholicism as the primary religion in England if Cranmer would have kept his original recantation of the Protestant faith. But when he changed that, when he went back to Protestantism right before he died and put his hand famously in the fire and said, "This is the fire that signed my denial of the Protestant faith. I should have never done it, and so this hand is going to be the first to burn." When he did that, something happened with those who had seen Ridley and Latimer burnt at the stake and those who had witnessed Cranmer burnt at the stake. And what happened was they became national heroes. They became patriots, and they became spiritual patriots, if I could use that language. So much so that in the year, I think it was 1558, it was the latter part of the 1550s, England made a new law that from that day forward, no more heretics or alleged heretics would be burnt at the stake publicly. They would be burnt at the stake behind the walls of the prison. So, and then when you take into account the fact that Cranmer witnessing, you know, his brothers that he had been in the same cell with, hold fast their faith until the end, witnessing that as they're being burned, and the things that they were saying back and forth to one another, most famously in Fox's Book of Martyrs, Latimer said to Ridley, as the flames were being lit, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, play the man. We shall this day light a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." And things like that that are being said when you're being put to death, the confidence in the gospel that they had, the relaxed conversation that they were having between one another, even as the faggots were were being lit, the wood around them was being lit. All of this was a strong encouragement to the people of England regarding the credibility of the Protestant faith. Here are these men who have such a strong faith, they refuse to recant. One of the things that occurred at, and I don't want to say every execution, but certainly at many of them, if not most of them, and something that did occur at Ridley and Latimer's execution, was the preaching of a sermon. And the sermon was about a 15-minute sermon, and it was a sermon preached by a Dr. Smith, who supported Roman Catholic teaching, and the sermon was to the crowd to discourage them from being Protestant. And the sermon was also designed, this 15-minute sermonette, was designed to try to get the ones executed, in this case Latimer and Ridley, to recant their faith at the very end. So things in the sermon were said such as, you know, these people think that they have a genuine faith, but it's not genuine because they're not part of the Roman Catholic Church, and they're getting ready to enter an eternity of hell. And but Latimer and Ridley's faith held strong until the end, even under this immense pressure. And with crowds watching this, it had a huge impact on the momentum that the Protestant Reformation had. And by that point, there was no turning back in terms of the momentum that it picked up.
Praise God. Now, is there any record of specifically why Hugh Latimer said to his friend Nicholas Ridley, "Play the man"? Could it be that Nicholas Ridley was weeping and he was in a loving way saying "man up"? Or what do you know about that?
Well, that would be maybe one assumption. We do know that, and this would be the position that I would take, when they lit the fire, they lit Ridley first. So the wood around Ridley's feet they lit first. But because the wood was not stacked properly, and who knows, maybe this was even done on purpose to cause more torture, as the flames rose, they only rose so high as his waist. So that basically Ridley was being burnt in his lower extremities, and he felt that the whole time. And the fire was not getting up to his head, whereas Latimer, from my understanding, his fire was lit later, but he was consumed almost instantly because the flames went all the way up to his head. And so it could be that in the midst of that fire at Ridley's lower extremities, before Latimer was being lit up, that he made that statement, "Play the man," you know, to encourage him. We know that the mercy was shown to Ridley in the midst of this. Ridley's brother-in-law, who was there present, had actually put around Ridley's neck a sack of gunpowder in hopes that he would die quicker. And when the fire wasn't coming up to his head like it was, finally someone moved an ember or a stick so that the fire rose up to the gun sack, and the gun sack exploded, and Ridley finally left this world and entered the presence of the Lord. But when you think about the dying by being burnt alive, that is a most torturous death, I think. And so who knows why Latimer made the statement. We know he made it, and we know that Ridley stood strong until the end. Ridley was calling out, "Have mercy on me, God, have mercy, receive my soul." So until the very end, Ridley certainly did not recant. He did not capitulate whatsoever to Roman Catholicism.
And what makes this remarkable, or just one of the many things that makes it remarkable, in light of the 21st century ecumenism that has been going on even before the 21st century, where peace at any price seems to be the motto of many churches, or at least professing churches, these men were willing to die for things that today you have thoroughgoing Protestants that believe in the same things you and I do. They perhaps even hold to the same confessions we do. But they look at a view of transubstantiation, that the Eucharist during the Lord's Supper, the bread and wine, the elements truly become the body, soul, and divinity of Christ. They are Christ and therefore are to be worshipped. They view this as, well, you know, it's just a differences of opinion, but we're still brothers. And why make a big fuss over this? I just find it utterly remarkable that you have men who are willing to die. And if this is indeed a trivial matter, or at least just a secondary or tertiary matter, then they should have just kept their mouths shut. They should have just said, well, I have these private theological explorations I'm going through, and I'm just going to not make waves over this, especially since it's going to lead to a torturous, painful, agonizing death. So let's just keep this to ourselves, and we'll bring it up maybe at private Bible studies. They didn't do that, and I think that there's a reason they did it. It's because these issues are far more grave and intensely important than many in modern-day Christendom think they are.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris, and I think that's such an apt word in terms of application. I'll have to remember that if I do a Today in Church History podcast to make that application that you articulated so well. Two things come to mind. You know, the difference between Ridley and Latimer and evangelical Christians today is a matter of courage. And courage is motivated by conviction. Courage is not motivated by your personality. It's not motivated by your personal strength, of character, or mind. It's motivated by conviction. These men truly believed what they preached. And in fact, Latimer said the best way that you can know whether or not these priests are hypocrites is by the way they behave. You want to know what they believe, well, look at their behavior. And I think that their issue was that if you truly believe something, you ought to be willing to die for it. And there's one story about Latimer that I need to share.
And in fact, if you could bring that story up right when we come back, because we have to go to our midway break. We have to go to our midway break right now. It's the longer than normal break. Please be patient with us. This is a longer break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice a day, requires a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can obey FCC regulations and localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, by airing their own public service announcements during this break and other things that they air that localize the program to that area. So while they air their public service announcements and other local things, we air our globally heard commercials during this break. So please use this time wisely and write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because that will result in us remaining on the air. You got to understand, folks, that we cannot exist without our advertisers. So please try to patronize them as often as you can. And on those occasions where you can't patronize them, how about writing them a letter, an email, or what have you, and just tell them thank you for supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But write down as much of the information as you can from our advertisers, but also write down questions for Dr. Andrew Smith about the martyrdom of Latimer and Ridley on this date in history, October 16th, 1555. Don't go away. Oh, and by the way, that email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Romaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway End Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air because they are a key sponsor of this broadcast. Barring a miracle, I doubt that we would be remaining on the air without their financial support. And the thing that I love about Solid Ground Christian Books advertising on my show, not only because they were founded by my dear friend and my very first pastor after my rebirth in Christ, Mike Gadosh, but also because you folks seem to love Solid Ground Christian Books. You are ordering a lot of books from them. And they are so thrilled that they have tripled their advertising budget since they first began advertising with us. I remember a few times Mike Gadosh reading to me long lists of listeners who purchased from him that I had never even heard from before, people who had never even submitted questions for our guest. And the list was going on so long, I had to say, okay, that's enough. I get your point. Thanks a lot for letting me know. And so I want to thank you, all of you, from the depths of my heart for patronizing solid-ground-books.com and remember them for all your gift-giving needs with the holidays coming up. And always remember to mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Andrew Smith and our commemoration of the martyrdom of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley on this date in history, October 16th, 1555. I just have a few announcements to make in regard to upcoming events that I hope that you will attend. The first of which is the Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship on the Doctrines of Grace, and that's being held Friday, November 1st, 7 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. I will be there, God willing. And it's going to be a great time, no doubt, not only hearing excellent messages from gifted pastors, but also to fellowship with the brethren there. And this will feature pastors from different local churches on Long Island that are a part of the Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship, all lovers of the doctrines of sovereign grace. So if you would like to join me there, you can go to the website reformedrookie.com. That's reformedrookie, R-O-O-K-I-E.com. You can also go to hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net, or you can call 631-696-5711, 631-696-5711. Then, coming up in December, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I am going to be packing up my bags again, heading back to New York, this time to New York City, for the Foundations Conference. This is a conference of sermonaudio.com, and I love the fact that they're having it this time around in the heart of the Christmas season, because Manhattan is my favorite place to be during the Christmas season. This is a conference only open to men and ministry leadership. A lot of that has to do with the size of the venue. It's a very small venue that can seat less than 200 people. So they restricted attendance to men in ministry leadership. If you fit that category, whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, I hope you join me there. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I think is going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. If you want to join me there, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and remember, that's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. Then in January, you've been hearing the ads for it already by Todd Friel and my friend James White, but I can't wait to pack up my bags and head down south this time for the G3 conference. This will be my fourth G3 conference. The G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And it will be held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And the theme is Worship Matters. I just love this conference, and I love manning my exhibitors booth there because there are thousands of people there that are discovering my show. And also, many people, dozens of people every year come up to me to tell me how much they already love listening to my show. I've also gotten new sponsors by virtue of manning my exhibitors booth there. I've gotten new guests. And of course, as I already said, new listeners. It's well worth your time to register for an exhibitors booth if you have a business, a parachurch organization, or anything else that you want to promote to the body of Christ in large numbers. The speakers at the G3 conference are always extraordinary, and the list is always long, really long. Once again, we have Dr. Stephen J. Lawson speaking at the G3 Conference 2020. We have Anthony Mathenia, who happens to be Paul Washer's pastor. We have my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Phil Johnson, who's been interviewed on this program more than any other guest. He is the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention, who was just my guest yesterday. We have Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. We have Derek Thomas, the world-renowned Presbyterian author and pastor and conference speaker. Costi Hinn, who you've been hearing about. He is the nephew of the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. And Costi has renounced the word of faith heresies of his youth and renounced the ministry of his own uncle. And he spends much of his time warning both the body of Christ and the lost about the dangers of the word of faith movement for its deadly and deceptive and damning heresies. There are many other speakers that are on the roster at this conference, and, of course, the latest addition is John MacArthur himself. I just can't wait to be there, because I have considered John MacArthur one of my greatest heroes, greatest living heroes of the faith. And although I have interviewed him on the show, and although he's written a phenomenal endorsement, a commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which is posted very proudly on my website, I have never met him, nor have I been in the same room when he is preaching, or the same building. So I'm looking forward so much to being there with the addition of John MacArthur, looking so much forward, even more, I should say, to being there. And so if you want to join me there, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And as I said, if you have a business, a parachurch ministry, or something else that you want to promote to the body of Christ, please consider registering for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning. And they have typically over 5,000 people there every year at the G3 Conference. With the addition of John MacArthur, I say they're going to have over 6,000 people. That is a guess on my part, but it's an educated guess, knowing of the prominence of Dr. MacArthur in our day and age. He is a man whose audience seems to be growing rapidly, even though he never candy coats anything that he teaches or preaches or writes about. So, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register to attend, and register for an exhibitor's booth if it applies to you. Always tell any of these organizations or ministries of churches or whoever our advertisers are, always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love hearing the guests and topics which are sometimes never heard anywhere else, you love the fact that you could share free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, well, please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You donate instantly by debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you want to advertise with us, you can send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, because we do urgently need your advertising dollars as well in order to remain on the air. As I try to remember to remind you every day, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your home, your family. Providing for this show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest and extra money set aside for recreational purposes, for sporting events, for the theater, for movies, for candy and ice cream and McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King, please use some of that money to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air, if indeed that's your desire. If you don't want us to remain on the air, I'm not sure why you're listening to us. So please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or you can send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. You have to rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, so I can help you find a church, and I have already helped many people all over the world find churches near them who have written to me requesting that I help them, either churches they have joined or churches that they have visited while they're on vacation, or churches that they have recommended to family, friends, and loved ones who don't have a church. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Dr. Andrew Smith, on the theme, the martyrdom of Latimer and Ridley, and why we must never forget their sacrifice as the martyrdom of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley on this date in history, October 16th, 1555. And again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before the break, as you probably remember, Dr. Andrew, you were going to tell us a story.
Yeah, just a real quick story about Latimer, and then a quick one about Ridley, because I think both of these stories support your observation that during their day, it was almost second nature for Christians to be courageous and stand up for the faith, whereas today, it's almost the opposite is true, which is unfortunate. But on one occasion, the story goes of Latimer, who was preaching, I think it was in the early 1520s, so well before he was extremely well known, well before he was even a bishop of Worcester. And he started to preach, and in walked a bishop of that particular diocese that he was in. And in mid-sentence, Latimer changed not only the text he was going to preach from, but he changed the entire sermon. He went to a verse in, somewhere in Hebrews that speaks about the high priest. I think it's Hebrews 9. And he began to say, you know, all the corruptions that were going on with priests and bishops and clergy. And clearly it was directed against this bishop who had just walked in. But the bishop was actually won over by such courage and asked Latimer if he would preach a sermon similar to that against the teachings of Martin Luther. And that's when Latimer said, no, you know, I can't do that. I hold to what Luther teaches. The other story is about Ridley. Ridley, like Latimer, did not back away from confrontation when it came to standing for the truth, but he pursued it. In fact, when Queen Mary was ascended the throne, he went to see her uninvited, which is not something you normally do to a queen, but he used kind of his influence and connections to get into the court, because both Ridley and Latimer were preachers of the court at that time. And he demanded an interview with Queen Mary. And in that interview, Ridley asked her if she would please not neglect the Word of God. And she replied in a smart way, well, I can't tell you what God's Word is, but I know that God's Word in my Father's day is not God's Word today, which is another way of saying that King Henry VIII, you know, turned Protestant, and I'm definitely not Protestant. And then she said, I've never read any of your books, Mr. Ridley, and I'm glad that I haven't, and I never will read any of them. And he greatly offended her in that meeting, and ultimately it led to his arrest, because he sort of red-flagged himself in that meeting in terms of his commitments and the fact that he wasn't going to change his position on some key doctrines. And but the point is, both of these men pursued confrontation, and I mean that in a good way. I don't mean unnecessary confrontation on tertiary matters, but primary matters concerning the gospel, concerning the Lord's Supper, the nature of the Lord's Supper, concerning justification by faith alone, concerning the ability for the people to read the Bible in their own language, which both Ridley and Latimer greatly endorsed. These sorts of things are things Christians should stand for, and it discourages me today when I see well-known Christian leaders within large denominations endorsing books that are written by heretics.
Oh, yeah.
When they know better.
Oh, yeah. And I hate to say it, but somebody whose writings have blessed me enormously has been guilty of that time and time again. And, of course, I'm talking about J.I. Packer. And I say that reluctantly, but I think that we can't hide things about people in our own theological camp when we expose the erroneous actions and heretical beliefs and teachings of people outside of our camp. We've got to be clear about what's going on among us. And as much as Dr. Packer has been a phenomenal blessing to the body of Christ, he's also endorsed some disturbing things and had even got raised the ire of the late R.C. Sproul and other folks, Dr. John MacArthur and Michael Horton and others, who were upset about his being very soft on the issues that divide Roman Catholics and Protestants, not necessarily in his own books, but in his ways that he interacted with them. And
right.
he signed the ECT document, the Evangelicals and Catholics Together. So, very, very troubling.
Yes.
But we do have a question. Let's see here. We have Christian in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christian asks, were there any Roman Catholics of significance that you know of who protested the executions of Latimer, Ridley, and Cranmer?
That's a great question. I definitely don't know the answer to it. I would say that you have a guy by the name of Soto, who was a Spanish friar during this time, who tried in vain to turn Ridley back to Roman Catholicism. So you certainly had particular people of influence and notoriety that the Roman Church would place in correspondence with what they called these, you know, Reformed Protestant heretics to try to get them to turn back. But I'm not aware of, I'm not saying there weren't any, but I'm personally not aware of any Roman Catholics that would have protested the deaths or the executions of those three men.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who has said, I have often heard Roman Catholic apologists make the claims that Protestants in history executed just as many Roman Catholics as Roman Catholics executed Protestants. From my knowledge of church history, and I'm no historian or expert, but that seems very unlikely. What are your opinions from your own knowledge of church history on that issue?
Well, there's no question about the fact that there was enough blood spilled, you know, on both sides to, I think, bring dishonor to the Lord. And I don't want to form any strong opinion either way, because I don't sense that there's really a need to do that. What happened under God's sovereignty, you know, on both sides. I can say this, though, with respect to Hugh Latimer. One of the first sermons he preached in the court of the king was in the year, I think, 1530. And he preached the sinfulness of the state or the government using temporal weapons or swords and that sort of thing to advance God's kingdom. So, yes, you had the Christian Crusades. Yes, you had death and executions. Anabaptists were put to death, and you've had Catholics obviously putting Protestants to death. But there were these, that wasn't everyone, not everyone endorsed that sort of mindset. There were people like Latimer who thought it was wrong and thought it was sinful and thought it was against the Word of God. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Paul tells the Corinthians that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not with the temporary weapons of this world. And so, because so many Christians throughout history had such a robust affirmation of sola scriptura, even before that term was coined, in God's grace, you had people who didn't endorse, you know, that sort of killing and those sorts of executions. On the other hand, we don't want to deny the fact that they did take place. They were an instrumental part of history. They were the religious wars were, in many ways, events that the Lord used in his sovereignty to accomplish his purposes. So we don't want to excuse sin when it occurs. On the other hand, we don't want to deny the fact that God is sovereign over those things. And he has his providential reasons as to why people are executed, why Latimer and Ridley were executed, and why other Protestants were not executed. And so we leave those mysteries, I think, with God and with his ways, and trust that his ways are always best and wise.
Now, of course, I'm assuming that you would agree with me that although God, who is in sovereign control of every single molecule anywhere in heaven, on earth, and in the universe, and every event that occurs by his decree, that God at the same time is not pleased by sinful and wicked and satanic and barbaric executions of his true children, you know, just like when we talk about the fact that God is sovereign even over the Holocaust, that did not mean that he had some kind of seal of approval or joy in what the Nazis did. All of those Nazis who did not repent are in hell and will spend an eternity in torment. So I think we have to be clear that when we say God's in control of even the martyrdom of his saints, that it's not that he is, he's not taking delight in this.
Of course, yeah. Absolutely, and I think that's very helpful, Chris. And to follow up just on what you said, these questions are difficult, not because we don't know right from wrong, not because we don't have a conscience, that we're able to discern when something doesn't quite match God's word. But we also have to remember that our context today is in many ways just completely antithetical to their own day, where you had the church and the state so intricately tied together that sometimes it was hard to tell, well, is this the church putting people to death, or is this the state putting people to death? Is this, because so many of these laws were connected between church and state. And so sometimes that complicates when we try to get to specific situations, whether or not, you know, one death is legitimate over another or one execution is legitimate over another. As Americans, you know, we believe in freedom of speech. As Americans, we believe in the right to religious liberty. That's how our country was formed. But our day that we live in is just entirely different than the day that the reformers lived in. And I think we need to recognize that as we think through these issues.
Yes. And and I'm no expert either. I'm no historian. But from my reading of history since the 80s, after becoming a born-again believer, it seems a really, I think, absurd position to take that the Protestants of history executed as much or more Catholics. First of all, from my knowledge of history, and if anybody can document that I'm wrong, most of the martyrdoms of Catholics at the hand of Protestants were in the Church of England. I mean, I don't know of any massacres or executions in any significant number, if at all, under Calvin's authority in Geneva. I don't know of that ever taking place in Luther's Germany, where, from my knowledge, the Catholics and the Protestants did cohabit Germany, and there was no... I think the Anabaptists had a greater threat of being executed than Roman Catholics did. So...
Yeah, I think you're right. And after, you know, Queen Bloody Mary came to the throne, a lot of the English Protestants fled to places like Geneva, Switzerland, where Calvin was, because they knew they could have religious freedom there. And Michael Servetus, who was executed in Geneva, the original reason he wanted to go to Geneva was because he thought he would find Geneva as a place of refuge. And so I think you're right. I think the Reformed, the Swiss Reformation, the German Reformation, as far as the Protestant side goes, you saw far fewer executions from that side. It was the Catholics in France who were killing the Protestants. It was the Church in England that then turned back Roman Catholic that was killing Protestants. But I would think that it's unfounded to say that there were equal deaths or equal executions on both at the hands of Protestants and at the hands of Roman Catholics.
And of course, you have the Roman Catholic Church doing this while claiming to have an infallible pope, so an infallible magisterium. So it is a different story altogether when Protestants make no such claim about their own leadership. Let's see. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, "Of course, we rejoice and thank God that people in the Christian faith, whether they are Roman Catholic or Protestant, are not martyring each other anymore. But I think that some lessons can be learned from the seriousness with which they took the differences of doctrine, and how can we in our modern day balance these things where we hold steadfast to truth and do not compromise on things that are very important, while at the same time not holding on to animosity, bitterness, hatred, and bigotry towards those who disagree?"
Yeah, well, three simple words: preach the Bible. I think back to William Tyndale, and before he was executed, his prayer was, "Lord, open the eyes of the King of England." And that prayer was answered, because during these Protestant Reformed days, even under King Henry VIII, the Bible, which Tyndale loved and wanted in the English language, the Bible was distributed, you know, in every church. And biblical preaching gained momentum, and Latimer and Ridley were known for preaching the Bible. They were not offensive men because of the way they treated people. They were offensive because of the truth they preached. And so we need a recovery of just preaching the word. We need a revival in the pulpit. In fact, a reformation will not occur unless it occurs from the pulpit. And it's not hard to offend people because we're sinners. But we ought not shrink away from offending people if we're standing up for truth. And I think, you know, these men, you read the description that Fox gives in the Fox's Book of Martyrs of the type of men that Ridley and Latimer were. He uses words like beautiful men, men with excellent qualities, godly men, learned men. These were not men that were difficult to get along with because of their personalities. They were men who preached the Bible. They were known as preachers. And if you do that, some people will be won over by God's sovereign grace, and others will hate you, but at least you know that you're being offensive based upon the truth of God's word and not because of some petty disagreement that you're having with someone else.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, is one of the reasons why the Church of England historically, after the Reformation, did not maintain a uniformly Calvinistic rubric and platform because of the fact that England was, as we know from what you've already said, switching back and forth from Roman Catholicism to Protestantism to Roman Catholicism to Protestantism, and the last time that that occurred when Protestantism took hold permanently, there was an effort to have some kind of midway approach that was not so offensive to the Roman Catholic citizens of England.
Well, I guess in some cases, you know, we certainly would wish that the Church of England was more reformed. But there is one instance, or at least one tenet of, I think we could even say Anglicanism, that goes back to the Book of Common Prayer, that shows they have reformed leanings.
And the 39 Articles of Religion that Cranmer
did. 39 Articles of Religion, yeah. And so Cranmer obviously was in charge of the Book of Common Prayer and getting it printed, the Book of Homilies as well. And Latimer and Ridley were instrumental. Latimer in the Book of Homilies, which was sermons put together for the Church of England that were sermons that priests who weren't confident enough to preach in English because they were so used to preaching in Latin, they could read these sermons on justification by faith and other key doctrines. Ridley was instrumental in the Book of Common Prayer and putting that together, and the second edition of that Book of Common Prayer actually has a view of the Eucharist or a view of the Lord's Supper that is thoroughly Calvinistic. It speaks about taking the elements in remembrance. So there's a remembrance of Christ and taking the elements and eating them by faith, which is a nod to the fact that eating them physically does not save you, as transubstantiation teaches.
Right, and a strong prohibition to venerating or worshiping the elements.
Yes, absolutely. And this is in the Book of Common Prayer, you know, which it seemed like each edition, there were three editions that were published fairly early on, and each one got stronger and stronger on a more Calvinistic understanding of the Lord's Supper. And so I don't know, you know, exactly what today the official Anglican, you know, what most Anglicans would view regarding the Lord's Supper, but I know the Book of Common Prayer would be fairly Calvinistic on that position.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. It will be much more brief than the last one, but if you want to send in a question, please do so immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
So grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron, a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Welcome back, and I want to also remind you that we have a brand new sponsor whose ads will be beginning shortly, God willing. That is Grace Church at Franklin, located in Franklin, Tennessee, pastored by Bill Sasser, a wonderful brother in Christ and dear friend. They have just signed a one-year advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And until those ads begin running, let me just give you their website. It's gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's Grace Church, and it's the word at, not the symbol, Grace Church A-T, Franklin, FRANKLIN.org, gracechurchatfranklin.org. And we thank Pastor Bill Sasser and the fine folks at Grace Church at Franklin for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind our listeners to keep listening to firstloveradio.org, who is live streaming Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep listening after this program goes off the air, because we have awaiting us a wonderful sermon, no doubt, from the powerful preacher Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Joe Jakowitz of Christ Church in Dublin, California. And he is also the founder and president of firstloveradio.org, who was just rescued by our great physician, Jesus Christ, from a scary trial battling a very deadly form of leukemia. He is now in complete remission as far as the physicians know. So keep him in your prayers. Keep praying that he remains in remission and is totally cured, for that matter, and that he has many more years ahead of him to preach the gospel and be a blessing to the body of Christ. We are now back with our guest, Andrew Smith. And Andrew, before I take any listener question, if we have time for any, I want you to really summarize why we must never forget the sacrifices of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, who were burned at the stake on this day, October 16th, 1555.
Well, if I could just quote a quote from church history that's been famously attributed to Tertullian, who simply said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And what he meant by that is that God does sovereignly use martyrdom as a means by which the church grows and blossoms. And reformation may come if we fervently pray for it and God wills it, but the likelihood of it coming apart from martyrdom or persecution is probably unlikely, because this has been the story throughout church history. So we pray for a reformation and revival on the one hand. On the other hand, we gird our loins and pray that God would give us grace to suffer under any martyrdom or persecution he might allow our way. And that's why it's important to remember the sacrifice that these men made, because the Lord might call us to this same sacrifice, and we need God's grace and mercy to follow in their stead.
Amen. And I've brought this up before, but in our day and age, we've got to remember the men, women, and children who were executed for their faith, and yet we, in our day and age, are afraid of hurting people's feelings or having our own livelihoods affected negatively by speaking the truth. When it comes to Christ, when it comes to biblical truths, we have a most recent glowing example, sadly, with the NFL great Drew Brees, who initially did a public service announcement promoting Bring Your Bible to School Day for the kids. And then when the LGBTQ folks frightened him, or perhaps the NFL, enough to make Drew Brees consider or reconsider what he had said, he came back in on the air and basically gave such an ambiguous apology that you didn't even know whether he truly thought homosexuality was a sin or not. But a football career, as valuable as that is to Drew Brees, especially when it brings in millions of dollars into your household, is not equivalent to being burned at the stake. And yet we have all of these heroes before us who are willing to do that. And I'm sorry, folks, we are out of time right now, so perhaps the next time we have Andrew Smith on, you can send in your questions on another date in church history that we are bringing to your attention. Once again, I want to make sure that we give you all of the information that you need to contact Pastor Andrew Smith. The website for Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida is ChristReformCC.com, ChristReformCC.com, and you can get all the archived podcasts for Today in Church History, that's HIS-STORY, you can get those at HeartAflame.org, HeartAflame.org. Thank you so much, Dr. Smith, for being on our program today. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write, and I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.